We kick off hour number two of the program. It's brought to you by the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Check them out online at tvacreditunion.com. They got you covered. Voted recently the best credit union around.
There's a big surprise.
Mm-hmm.
Not.
Yeah.
All right. Who
best in Knoxville?
Who are these goons?
Let's do the second team next.
All right.
Luke Lipsius, first base, made second team for your Tennessee Volunteers. This is really, I guess, so they listed a center fielder position and then two other just outfield positions. But so anyway, for second team, Drew Gilbert made outfield, and they put Enrique Bradfield Jr. as the center fielder. Like, I don't know why you have to have a center fielder and then, like, can't you just have three outfielders? Does it matter if they play center or not?
Are we looking at the same thing?
Yeah.
Because on their graphic, it just says outfield.
Oh, I went to the article.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Chase Burns was second team starting pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it for second team. So, third team.
Hmm.
I don't see any volunteers.
There are none.
I mean, we're kind of running out of people, I guess. But, like, was Jordan Beck not that good this year?
He did not make a team.
Jarrell Ortega's fourth team, second base.
Oh, my gosh. And that concludes the fourth team.
Redmond Walsh isn't one of the relievers?
No, didn't make it, according to 14 Southeastern.
Southeastern 14.
Whatever.
I
was reading their Twitter handle. I'm not giving them a click.
What a weird name.
Oh, I see it now. Wow.
Mm.
I don't have the biggest.
You see the play
I don't have the biggest problem with that, but it should be Trey Lipscomb.
Mm-hmm.
Sonny DeShera
as your player of the year.
Sonny D. However, Tennessee did sweep the remaining categories with pitcher of the year, freshman of the year, and Tony Vitello as coach of the year. Pitcher of the year, Chase Dolander. Freshman of the year, Drew Beam. So not. I guess they gave it to. Is that a bad look right there? If Tennessee wins everything, I mean, we might be the best baseball team in the history of college baseball. Don't think it's that big of a deal, but
I feel like the best baseball team of all time, at least so far, maybe potentially should have more people on these lists. I think we're so good.
It seems like
we kind of got great on a curve.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I'd agree with that. Just based on the numbers.
It's like when I had this professor one time in college that said, like, I got a B on some project that we had to do on the computer. And she was like, well, I expected more from you. Yours should have been better. I'm like, mine was better than all these other people you gave an A to. It's like, well, they're not as good at this stuff. I'm like, that's not fair.
That's why, Nate, you lower the bar and jump over the bar.
Well, it's hard to lower you can't lower the bar with other assignments, you know?
I mean, a little bit. That's why you scrape right around in the B plus to A minus range, and then when it comes, you know, time to make sure your final grade is an A, you
just talk your way into it. That sounds like you're playing.
Big talker. I'm not in school anymore.
I mean, back in the day, you know.
I do have experience.
Yeah.
Being nice goes a long way.
Mm-hmm.
All right, how are we feeling about Hoove?
I'm still in the win the whole thing or just go ahead and tune out.
Well, Hickman's now saying he's all in for it. So I think I'm all in for it. I want to win the whole thing.
I mean, if you win the national championship and you want to make that kind of that claim that you're one of the best ever,
right,
then winning Hoover matters. But if not winning Hoover helps us win the national championship, it's a chicken and egg thing, man. Timing is tough. What'd you think about the, I'm trying to remember who said this. I feel like it might have been the Mississippi State guys on the call. We're talking about how they're going to set the rotation for this weekend, and that way Blade Tidwell could start.
In Hoover?
The SEC tournament. But then, like, later that game, he came in.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, oops. I don't think that was the plan.
Those guys were great, by the way.
They were good.
Thank you for bringing that up, Hickman. I completely agree. I, like, every other time this has happened, there's been a little bit of, oh, okay, we're getting the homer call. I mean, especially Ole Miss. That was just ridiculous. The Florida guys were pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, and they got swept, too. But I not one time in my head was I thinking, these are definitely Mississippi State homers. And I wondered about that because at this point in the season, you know, Mississippi State, not very good. Had to win 2 out of 3 to make the SEC tournament. But even in Friday's game, which, and maybe that's part of it, right? Like, we never even gave them, like, a foothold to think mm-hmm. that maybe, just maybe, they could win this series. 27-2. But then, when Friday's game was, or did I say Friday? Sorry, Thursday. When Friday was close, I still didn't think they were over the top one-sided. And then Drew Gilbert hits the cruncher. Had some words for, which pitcher was that, Hickman, on Friday?
Johnson, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
He gave us fits for a very long time.
Yeah, he did.
And he was barking at our guys to get back in the box because he wanted to pitch fast. He wanted to pitch fast.
I didn't think they were ever going to pull him.
For a long time, it didn't look like they needed to. And then, I guess it was the 8th inning.
They should have pulled him before Gilbert.
Well,
one of our listeners was like, I can't believe they let him pitch to Gilbert.
Especially after you've been talking that smack to a guy who
thrives on that.
I mean, thrives is not even a strong enough word. It is his life fuel. I mean, Beck got up there and said, come on, mother bleeper. He said it back to him, like, throw your pitches. And then he pings.
Did he say that before the at-bat started?
It was before or during. But then he hit the single that scored Luke, I think. And then Gilbert gets up there, hits the two-run shot to finally give Tennessee the lead. Touches third base, looks over and says, talk that bleep now, mother bleeper.
Preston Johnson.
Preston Johnson.
Old Preston.
Yeah, I love Drew Gilbert.
That was a fun series. I mean, you had Thursday night where it's just we're just golfing out there.
Best stadium in the country, too.
And did you see the video after Saturday?
Yeah, they got the food.
They always do that, apparently.
I know, yeah.
They feed the visiting team.
I know, but
it's kind of cool.
Number one team in the country.
It's
we
nice.
Just swept you. You're out. I mean, you're done. And those guys are walking over like, what'd you get? Oh, I got a bunch of cheeseburgers. I got all this sausage. I got a big rack of ribs over here. Like, it was just crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Mississippi State fans are hands down the best opposing fan base in the SEC.
And you know what's funny? They said the same about Tennessee fans that went to the game. And there were quite a few. And there was a good spattering of orange in Starkville this weekend. And a lot of the a lot of the Mississippi State fans on Twitter were saying our interactions with the Tennessee fans were unbelievable. It was great. It's like, huh. Interesting.
Yeah, I saw one guy said he had a newfound respect for the Tennessee baseball team and Tennessee fans.
Wow.
Did you hear the one guy Friday night on the call? I guess the crowd mic was close to him, and I guess he didn't like the call we got, and he said, they don't need your help, Blue. They're too damn good.
That's
respect.
That's probably about right.
Yeah.
Great weekend. Unbelievable. Nate wins his golf.
Broke the curse, too. Daniel pointed that out.
I know.
Won the poll. Won the event. It's not even have to worry about it anymore. Now you can win the poll.
Yep. You done?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, I was trying to give you your credit.
Thank you. We did have one negative over the weekend.
What's that?
Lady Vols.
Oregon State?
Yeah.
8-3 and 3-1.
I think they beat them the first time.
They did. They beat them 3-0 the first game.
Yeah. And then, man.
It's a good season.
I guess so. Regional.
It just stinks at home.
At your place?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's no good.
I don't think it was against Oregon State. Did you see Keke Malloy's home run?
Mm-mm.
Was it Saturday? She hit it over the scoreboard. I thought we were destined.
Well, the softball team hit a bunch of home runs this year, too. They were talking about their stats. Mm-hmm. Like, most of their runs were coming off the long ball.
It's a tough way to go.
Yeah.
But a good job by Karen.
Was it?
Yes, it was. It was a good job.
If Tony V gets bounced in the regional at home, you going to say it's a good job? Because he had a much better season. So I feel like you have to if you're going to go good job by Karen.
I feel like the softball team wasn't expected to do as much this year.
Were we the higher seed over them?
Yeah, it was here.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we hosted.
Yeah, that's unacceptable.
Did Hickman just fire Karen Weekly?
No.
It's her first year, right?
I mean, sort of.
I mean, she's been around the program forever, right? I know that.
She's been a co-head coach for like 10 years or something like that. Yeah,
but well, maybe she should go back to that.
Bring Ralph back?
I don't feel like he seems too old these days to coach college softball. Need to make the call to One in Stripes. If that's all Karen Weekly can do, yeah, get rid of her.
All she can do. She's co-head coach just to World Series before.
That's not impressive.
To championship games in the World Series?
I mean, when you have co in front of the word coach, it kind of takes away some of the
luster. You always have co in front of the word coach.
Not really in front. It's kind of part of.
How many softball teams have co-head coaches?
I think we were it.
That's stupid.
I think we were the only major sport in the country that had co-head coaches of anything.
Starting the trend.
They made World Series. They made championship games.
Never won one.
Yeah, never won one. I'm out.
That's like saying Rick Barnes has been to 10 Final Fours and 5 championship games, but he's never won one. Time to get him out of here.
So if she never makes it back to a College World Series, we know it was all Ralph, right?
I mean, Ralph's still around. He's not dead. He's, you know, he's probably texting her.
We were the 11th seed. Oregon State was, you know, unseeded.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
And we beat them the first time. Just had to win one game. Then Ashley Rogers, like, didn't pitch or whatever, only pitched an inning or something all weekend. What's up with that?
Like an inning and a third or something?
She threw, like, 13 in one game. Remember when I asked the question, hey, do we really need to be throwing this pitcher for 13 innings in one game? Sounds like a bad idea, especially somebody that's been injured.
Well, didn't she get re-injured? Isn't that why she only pitched?
I don't know. No one knows. It's a vault over there.
It's a vault.
Tennessee gave up 8 runs in the first game against Oregon State. Lost 8-3.
Yes.
And they couldn't not scoring's been their problem recently. And they beat Oregon State 3-0 in the first game. Lost 8-3 and then lost 3-1. Sad.
Very.
Some girl threw like 400-plus pitches this weekend.
In a different series or something?
Yeah.
Unreal. Well, Rogers pitched, what'd you say, 13?
Like she threw 161 pitches in one game.
I feel like Abbott used to do that, though, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, a lot of them, you know, pitch a lot. Just maybe not with the kid that's been injured before.
No, I get it. I'm with you.
Yeah. All right, we'll come back with more. Stick with us right here on 3 and Out. Hour 2 continues. Appreciate you joining us, starting your week right with 3 and Out. Hickman asked during the break who would be a good co-head coach for Rick Barnes.
I don't like this road. I'm abstaining. I think he's a fine head coach by himself.
Well, I mean, he is a fine head coach by himself, but sometimes fine just isn't good enough, you know?
Mm.
I thought Rick Pitino, just because you got, like, you know, preacher Rick Barnes. You need, like, a yin and a yang, you know?
Yep.
Kind of a devil. Maybe an offensive play-calling genius, though, you know?
Okay.
That might be good.
I know what you're doing.
What?
We're fine.
Dude, he's been recruiting really well here.
Yeah, he's
lately.
Recruiting his guts out.
There's an article about
DJ Jefferson over the weekend, signed, sealed, and delivered.
Uh-huh. Yeah, there's a whole article about how we always do well in the second recruiting window.
Also announced over the weekend that Josiah Jordan James will be returning.
Mm-hmm. That's official now.
That's big. Worried about Bob?
If he stays in the draft, that's a mistake.
I'm not worried about it.
Well, I don't feel like he's going to get drafted. I feel like at this point it's so he could go play overseas and make some money. We got to get his visa sorted out so he can earn some NIL.
Oh, can he not? I remember that thing about Plosich having that problem.
Yeah, I don't think they can make
it. I thought one of them got it straightened out.
I think Euros did.
Oh.
But you figured, hey, just do the same thing you did with Euros for Santi. And
you would think. Yeah, Toby Awaka, Julian Phillips, and DJ Jefferson, all second round, late period guys for this class. BJ Edwards, of course, already in the class.
Tyrese Hunter committing soon. Not to us, maybe, but hopefully to us.
Does that look like that ship has sailed?
I don't think so. I think Kansas has made a late push. It was us in Texas, but he went on the visit to Kansas, but they just had another guard commit to them the other day. So maybe.
So they may not have a spot.
Maybe, yeah.
Okay.
That's kind of the thinking. Hopefully there you get a domino effect. And if it's down between us and Texas, I don't know why you'd go to Texas.
As of late, neither do I. I mean, I know they beat you straight up, but they just have not had much success.
I know
since Barnes left.
New facilities are coming, but.
Yeah, but isn't that like still 2 years out or something?
I think so. I mean, I guess he's got 4 years of eligibility left.
Hmm. Okay.
But Rick Barnes, he's a point guard. That's what Rick Barnes does best. He develops point guards.
That's true. But I know we won the SEC tournament, but obviously there's a lot of postseason questions surrounding Rick Barnes.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of defections lately. Right? Like you lost Brandon Huntley Hatfield and DJ Burns. I mean, the list kind of goes on and on. The fact that he's able to recruit so well in the second window year after year, pretty impressive.
Yeah, last year, Tomba, Huntley Hatfield, Adu, Dubunje, and Ziegler were all late second round guys, late signing period.
Mm-hmm.
Meshack and Chandler were the ones from early.
Can you give those names again?
Tomba.
Yeah.
Huntley Hatfield.
Uh-huh.
Adu.
Uh-huh.
Dumunje and Ziegler.
Okay.
Not liking the track record there.
No. I mean, you got some good minutes from Huntley Hatfield. Obviously, Ziegler is, I don't know, do we say he's a star?
Nah.
But he's really good. Fan favorite, at least.
Yeah, he's a solid contributor.
Is that what he's listed at on KenPom? Was he a solid contributor?
I don't know. I just threw that out there. I can look it up.
Hmm.
Cam Hua and Vescovi.
Plosich too, right? I mean, he was a transfer, but was he not late?
I guess so. He's not even listed on here at all. So
it looks good on paper.
There,
Nate,
doesn't seem to be a correlation between when they were added to the class and success or failure. I mean, Pember and Gaines were both early, you know, with Josiah. So some classes, the later guys are ones that flamed out. Some classes, the earlier guys, who knows? Just need to have a better hit rate, these guys.
Yeah.
Maybe this class will be better.
It's weird. I felt like we were really dialed into the previous kind of second windows.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know a lot about the guys they've added recently.
Yeah.
Other than once they commit, kind of looking at some videos and stuff on Twitter.
Significant contributor.
That's what I thought. I thought he was a little better than solid.
Well, they don't. Well, that's the same thing. I just couldn't remember how they put it.
Yeah, I just didn't like the way you
phrased
it.
Major contributor, significant contributor, role players.
Yeah, he's not a role player.
Who's Zakai?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was like me agreeing. Like, he's not a role player. He is.
He was early.
He's a
just kind of a
piece.
Come in and get 5 to 10. But by the end of the year, especially when we went four guards, I mean, he was dynamite.
Well, what's really weird is Vescovi, Josiah, and Fulkerson were all role players according to these metrics.
Role players for those three?
Yeah,
I could see it with Fulkerson last year, but not Josiah and Bob. Like, they were starters. They were out there all the time.
I don't know.
Is that also taking into account production? I'm assuming it's not just minutes, right?
Oh no, yeah. I don't know. I don't know how it's calculated. It's not minutes. I mean, Bob was 78% of the minutes. That's more. Yeah, it's all production. All three of those guys played more minutes than Ziegler. Well, except for Fulkerson, they were close. But it's definitely production. Like,
yeah,
Conwell was a significant contributor when he played.
There was one more piece of bad news over the weekend, Nate.
What was that?
On the way out of this segment, I'd like to tip the cap at Tennessee Tennis. They were swept,
but they
made... I say swept. You don't have to add in hammered.
It was bad, dude.
Nate?
They had a great chance to win a national championship.
Who swept them?
Virginia.
That just means we get payback in 2 years. On the football field in Nashville, in a stadium that is apparently falling apart.
Oh, really?
It's not good.
We upset Baylor. They were number three seed. Remember, 1 and 2 were out, Hickman. Like, this was our moment.
We'd have been playing Kentucky in the Natty, right?
We would have won the national championship. We'd have beaten Virginia.
It's Kentucky?
They were the 8 seed.
They upset Ohio State, right?
Yes.
Wow.
We were the 6. Virginia was the 7. Kentucky was the 8.
Look, man, it's tennis. You get hot. Make a run. You know this.
Not usually the best teams always make it to the end, and this was a weird year where that didn't happen. You had a chance to
win. You said we were the 6, right?
We were the 6. Virginia was the 7.
Two teams that got hot. They got a little hotter. I hate their orange. It's way too close to ours.
It's a little redder.
Yeah, a little bit, but it's close.
Maybe if Nissan Stadium's falling apart, though, they'll cancel the game.
That's what we need to do. Cancel and buy out of another game. We'll have to go to Virginia.
We got
to
break, but I want to hear about this stadium falling apart next. Like, where do we hear this? Yeah. What's going on?
Amy Adams, she's like, oh, look at this piece of crap.
Virginia. Golly. Did they win the Natty the year we should have won it in basketball, too?
Yeah, that was them.
Yeah, there we go.
There you go.
Yeah, that was a bad year for us. We'd had them in the Elite Eight. Chance to go to the Final Four.
Yeah.
That matchup suited us perfectly.
And they did go to overtime with Purdue, right? Or it was close?
Yeah, they went
to... Yeah.
Because that one guy...
Hits the turnaround. Yeah, we talked about that last week.
And they barely beat Auburn.
They barely beat Auburn, right? I would not have wanted to play Auburn again, though. I don't know. They didn't have Okiki at that point, so maybe it wouldn't have been
so bad. Yeah, yeah. I think it'd be fine. I think we're never going to play them that year now, so just say we would have beat them.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Revenge.
Mm-hmm. They beat Kentucky 4. They didn't lose a match all weekend.
They won
tennis. Yeah.
Mm.
They beat Kentucky 4-0.
They got on a heater. They restrung.
I was watching
restrung the rackets, and it was ping pong out there.
I tried to watch it, and they still are on that stupid app that's just horrific.
For the Natty?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was the semis. I was watching Tennessee-Virginia.
But it was the Final Four.
Yeah.
And it was still bad?
Yeah, it was terrible. It was like it's like still built for a computer screen. So on your phone, at first it looks like nothing's loaded. I'm like, where is it? I had to scroll left to right. I was like, oh, here are all the videos. Then you open a court and it's like got the wrong label. And then there was like a commentary button, but it didn't play any commentary. It was all messed up. So then I just was like, oh, screw it. I'll just check the updates on Twitter. And sure enough, first update was like, we lost the doubles point. And we've been winning it every time. Mm-hmm. It's like, all right, we got to win four in singles. And then the first singles update was like, well, we got a battle. Because every match we were either down or tied in. Then the next one's like, you're going to have to really fight back.
And then it was like, good season, everyone.
No joke. There was an hour between tweets, I think. Like, we're really going to have to battle. Going to be a long day. And then it was just like, great season, everyone. Virginia advances 4-0.
Is that one of those they shouldn't have tweeted anything moments for you?
No, they did it fine.
Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah, they did it fine.
But they did their job, Nate.
What?
SEC schools ranked by average conference win percentage across all sports for the year. Who do you think's number one in the conference in league play?
I wonder.
I saw it.
Both of you, really?
Your Tennessee Volunteers! Is that better?
It's pretty impressive.
It is.
We kind of ran away with it, too.
Mm-hmm.
University of Tennessee, in all sports, conference play only, won 67.2% of their games this year. That's a little better than 2 out of 3, last I checked.
Mm-hmm.
Second place was Florida at 59.5%. Surprisingly enough, Alabama, 42.2% of conference games won by Crimson Tide teams? It's despicable.
Is this the major sports or is this everything?
It's everything. Yeah. It says all sports. Who do you think was dead last?
Vandy?
Missouri.
Missouri it was. Vandy was second last. Kick them out of the conference!
We need to.
I'd rather keep Missouri. And get
oh, really?
Vandy just needs to go independent.
I'd like to lose those two. I'd keep the rest.
A&M's they've battled back. They're putting up a fight. I appreciate it.
The rest are okay. Missouri and Vandy need to go.
Surprising though that the big three in the SEC East are all in the top four, and Arkansas's third. Arkansas, impressive.
I feel like having impressive a good baseball team is like really.
I mean, yeah, significantly well, it's, more games.
It's 30 games as opposed to, well, I mean, it's what, 18 in basketball, 16 in basketball?
Arkansas is good, yeah.
And they're good in both. Yeah.
They'll probably be the preseason national championship favorite for basketball next year.
Really?
Yeah.
No, it'll be Kentucky.
Most polls have Arkansas number one to start the season next year.
What?
Yeah.
Number one overall?
Yeah, CBS Sports had them number one, I believe, overall. They have like 4 or 5 stars coming in.
Musselman.
And it's time for Eric Musselman to get some of the Rick Barnes hate. If he doesn't break through to a Final Four here in the next couple of years, I want people on his tail.
You're one of the people on Barnes's tail.
Rightfully so. And I'll be on Musselman's tail if he doesn't do it here in a couple of years.
Musselman's been to back-to-back Elite Eights.
So?
It's as far as any Tennessee coach has ever gone, and it happened once. Well,
he's going to get to the Final Four.
Back-to-back Elite Eights.
Start the petition.
With teams that weren't as good as our teams, like, you know what I mean? Like
okay.
Previously, yes. The Sweet 16 with Nevada. Nevada.
Nobody cares about the Elite Eight, though. That's just like, oh, you almost made the Final Four.
Tell that to Tennessee fans. Nobody cares about the Elite Eight.
Oh, I know. I mean, I don't. I mean, it was Final Four bust for me this year. After we won the SEC tournament, I thought this was our year. I remember sitting at Craven Wings with John Reed on Talk Sports, and we were talking about if it's not this year, when?
But you wouldn't have said that 2 years ago, and it was 2 years later that we're having the same conversation. Because Rick Barnes knows how to build a roster. He knows how to coach a team. He knows how to squeeze every drop of blood from that turnip. And here you are.
He's right about Arkansas, though, right here. way too early. Top 25, number one. I don't recognize anybody in their starting lineup.
I'm not saying he, yeah.
That's crazy. This is crazy.
No, Musselman's a good coach. We know that.
Apparently they're gonna
Who do you like more, Musselman or Oates?
Musselman.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Hmm. I mean, you know that their style of basketball this last year was like, it was like Konzo plus. It was like, we're going to beat you 58-50.
He was good in the tournament, though. They knew when to take the air out of the ball. They were able to keep scoring. Was it Gonzaga they beat? That was, he outcoached Mark Few.
Yeah, but they're always overrated now.
Apparently, they have Anthony Black. He's a five-star. And then apparently Nick Smith, he was the sixth best player in one ranking overall. He might be the number one pick in the 2023 NBA draft. Jordan Walsh, also a five-star that could start right away.
I've never heard of any of these guys.
And is Note coming back?
He's not in their projected starting lineup, so.
Because he hasn't.
But
has
is he coming back?
I would assume that.
Or is he in the draft process, maybe? Yeah.
I saw someone had us predicted to finish fourth next year in the SEC.
Fourth? And we're like 12th overall?
Or it might have been third. It was third or fourth. They had Arkansas, Kentucky, and I think maybe
Bama.
Might have been Bama.
Is Bama supposed to be pretty good next year?
This ranking has us 14th and Bama 15th. Okay. You know, overall. So that put us.
What SEC teams are ahead of us?
Just Kentucky and Arkansas.
Just those two? Okay. Yeah. So it probably was Bama if it was fourth.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are predicting Auburn to take a big step back.
Good.
Not a big step back, but I mean.
They have Auburn,
suck it, Nate.
They have Auburn 16th. So
put 14, that in 15, your pipe 16. And drink it in.
I think I saw somebody had Auburn at 25.
What are you going to do if Auburn's not good this coming year? I mean, are you going to be like be okay to do the show
and
everything?
Fine, man. It'll be good to go.
Oh, yeah, just dismiss it. That's good.
Yeah.
What happened this last year when Auburn played Tennessee? I don't recall. What happened to old Bruce when he came to Thompson Bowling? Do you remember?
Yeah.
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 Do you? Hmm. Do you remember that it was a blowout until we decided to foul Jabari Smith when he hit the three?
That was a weird ending of the game, but Tennessee was fine. They held on.
What happened to Musselman when he came into town?
They did get blowed out.
No, they didn't. They were down 24 and cut it to like we won that game by 1 point
oh, yeah,
or something.
You're right. I forgot about
that. I was driving back from Kentucky listening to that thing. I'm like, we're up 24. It's a cruise.
That's all I remember. See, I'd wipe the rest
of the game. It was like down to 20, 19, 16. Oh, he got fouled on a three and hit him. 12.
I want your honest answer to this question.
First of all, you can ask for the honest answer, and it's going to sound honest.
Is it?
I'm going to try to make it sound honest.
I want you to try your very best to honestly answer this question. Now, we'll let the listeners mull it over this next break.
They can
call in and say if they agree or disagree. Does this starting lineup sound like a top 15 basketball team to you?
Go on.
Zakai Ziegler.
100% yes.
Santiago Vescovi.
100% yes.
Josiah Jordan James.
If he continues to develop like he did last year, that's a three. That's Cerberus.
Top 15 team.
Cerberus.
That would be a sweet those, 16 team.
Those three right there, Cerberus. You know who Cerberus is?
No. Olivia
The three-headed Kamwa. Guard dog in Hades.
Okay. Olivia Kamwa and Uros Plavsic. Does that strike you as like, yep, making the Sweet 16, no problem.
That's a round of 32 exit right there. Phillips needs to start day one.
Now, this is way too early. I mean, there's BJ, you know, we got other guys.
Yeah, we got BJ, we got a Waka coming in.
That wasn't the question. The question was, does that starting lineup sound like a Sweet 16?
And here is my follow-up to you. How often does the starting five play 40 minutes each? It's all about depth. It's about the program, Nate. It's about what you got behind them.
I'll give you my answer on the flip side.
We know what your answer is. Well, I don't know why I came here tonight. I got the feeling of something.
Final segment, hour number two, Monday edition. Chris, you have to stick with the actual question. Is that starting lineup, Sweet 16, good? And the answer is no. It's not even close. That doesn't mean that the team isn't Sweet 16 good.
Can we wait until we see him this year?
We've got Julian Phillips.
Wait, why are you making my point against me? That doesn't make any sense.
What do you mean?
Depth matters.
Well, I mean, if we're going to be with the team like we were last year that started a lineup that never really played together after they started, then I guess it makes sense. But not really a fan of that. Kind of like starting one of your best lineups, if not your best lineup. I'd appreciate us trying that method this year. Be kind of smart.
Maybe that's a sneaky tactic by Rick Barnes. He doesn't like starting his best lineup in first half, second half, or overtime.
Played against this softball team that always put a weak hitter hitting leadoff.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you think they're good, I guess. I don't know what the thinking is there.
Because
you're only going to get, like, in the league we're playing in, you're only going to get two to maybe three at-bats. And sometimes when they come up for the third time, I mean, the top of the lineup, the only kids are going to get that. So if it's one of your weaker hitters, that could be the final out of the game. So I don't really get it, but it's like they put a weak hitter to start the game. So I guess you think they're going to be
maybe good. He puts the guys out there that he knows are going to do the right things.
Mm.
Maybe they're not the best players, but they're going to do the right things so that then they can look at what the other team does and say, here's how we can take advantage of what they're doing. And then you sub and you figure it out.
I don't know. I mean, we've had five-star guys that started right out of the gate. It's just been kind of weird who has and who hasn't.
I'd agree with that.
Nah, this article's old anyway. We didn't even have some of the guys. I mean, but you think B.J. Edwards would be in the starting lineup, right?
I don't know. I mean, he's got good size for a point guard. But we all know Rick Barnes and point guards, you know, that's going to take a lot of work by B.J. Edwards.
Mm. Yeah, that's a good point.
But he's also got a, you know, whether he starts or doesn't, like, Zakai can come in and steady the ship anytime he's needed, I would think.
Well, they can play together.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying, like, if we need two bigs and one true point guard. I mean, we do think Zakai is going to get better this year, right?
Yeah, I don't think if we're talking about our best lineup, I don't think Kamwa and Plavsic in the game at the same time is going to happen much.
I don't think I disagree with that.
The team was much better with Josiah Jordan James playing the four.
Yeah.
And just, I mean, your best lineup is probably Kamwa at the five and some combination of the mm-hmm. new guys. And
he took a big step last year.
And the veteran guys. When he plays the four, he's a different player. Or, sorry, you're talking about Kamwa.
Yeah.
Kamwa, yeah, he was better early. We'll have to see if he's able to take a step with the injury thing. Hopefully he can.
Was that a pun?
It was unintended.
It's kind of mean.
No pun intended.
Take a step.
I know.
We heard his foot. You're making jokes on an injured player.
You don't need a foot to shoot. And at least he's a threat offensively.
What did you just say?
You don't need a foot to shoot. Like, you could have a banged up foot, banged up leg, and you can still shoot.
You see a lot of one-legged players bouncing around the NBA, Hickman?
But the point is, the guy's at least a threat offensively.
It sounded weird because you shoot yourself in the foot, you know? The way he said that, you don't need a foot to shoot.
Mm.
If you think of it, if you're anyway.
Are you saying that Rick Barnes shoots himself in the foot?
No.
Yes.
What's wrong with you two people?
He kind of does.
Nate!
I mean, he literally told us that he was going to go to UCLA if his buyout could
that wasn't shooting yourself in the foot. That was putting your foot in the mouth.
Well,
I bet Zeiler doesn't start. I bet he's the spark plug, six man.
It worked last year.
I bet it's B.J. Edwards, Bob.
If he comes back.
Phillips.
You think Phillips?
Triple J.
You think Phillips starts?
Kamwa.
What if he puts Phillips on the Brandon Hutley Hatfield routine?
What do you mean he's a five? Yeah, I know he's a five-star.
Well, I mean,
Brandon Huntley Hatfield was a five-star.
Most schools only get a five-star, you know, they start a lot.
Well, Huntley Hatfield played 8 minutes the entire month of January. Or December, whatever month it was.
Yeah, because we played eight games. He started and got the first 8 minutes, first 30 seconds, and then he'd get the first 30 seconds of the second half.
I'm sorry, but if I'm a five-star and he mishandles Julian Phillips the way he kind of mishandled Brandon Huntley Hatfield, I would not give Tennessee the time of day.
I'm looking at it more
did,
like
did he
Keon
mishandle him? I mean, the guy, like, he started every game once Kumwa got hurt, and then the guy wasn't happy that he wasn't promised 30 minutes a game?
Well, he started, but that's because they started this weird lineup that they never ran the rest of the game.
Wait a minute, because you're saying two different things. You're saying that Brandon Huntley Hatfield, you got to start your five stars. You got to start your five stars. You just said that about Julian Phillips. Now you're saying Brandon Huntley Hatfield wasn't that good. He missed, like, you know, let's have some consistency here.
Huntley Hatfield had 10 points against Alabama in like 10 minutes in the first half and didn't step on the court in the second. That's the kind of bull crap that
we were missing. John Fulkerson and Kennedy Chandler. That was a tough night for everybody.
And so you're not going to play the guy who played the best in the first half?
Not if he's not hustling. If he's not giving maximum effort, you sit him down.
He's too old school. Rick Barnes is.
He was playing the long game. Hickman, we were coaching for March.
And it did not work out.
We were great in March. We were damn near undefeated in March.
Yeah, we only lost one game in March.
It was April that got a little tough. Didn't we technically lose in April?
I don't remember.
But that's what I was like, which is it? Like, did he miss? Hickman said he mismanaged Brandon Huntley Hatfield. Did he? Or was Brandon Huntley Hatfield actually just not that good?
I think both. I mean, reclassified. He's, you know.
You know how I feel about that.
If he reclassified and was going to be more of a developmental guy, they should have played him more in the developmental games early in the season.
And we said that the whole time. You know, I'm right there with you on that.
And then they could have made a more accurate determination of role for later in the year.
I agree.
But to start one lineup that's obviously not your best lineup, and then, but even if they thought it was, they never came back to it. So none of it made any sense. I didn't understand that.
I agree with that.
I just don't. Yeah, I don't. I mean, I'm sure that Rick Barnes would say, yeah, I mean, we couldn't play more because he didn't do this, this, and this, and. If that's the case, I mean, it's impossible for fans or media members to know those behind the scenes things. But if he was that much of a loser, then maybe you shouldn't have been playing him at all.
Well, that's what made that whole situation so strange.
He even came out and said he's found his, you know, he talked glowingly about him.
Flipped
at one
the
point.
Switch, yeah. Well, and then it was weird because Bob and Joe went to the coach and said, this guy has to start, you know. Like, it was a team vote type deal as to why you started. Like, that was strange.
Do we know if that was real?
I mean, they talked about it a lot, yeah. Okay. I think it was real.
I just don't remember. I'm not saying you're wrong.
I got you. Just a strange situation. But I'm not saying he didn't have flashes. Like, I remember that reverse weird layup he hit against Kentucky. Do you remember that in the SEC tournament where he just, like, I mean, he sprinted the court, looked good, but he also did a lot of things, took a lot of shots where you're like, that should probably go in if you're this good.
There's definitely been some issue with not being able to develop some of these bigs. Like Adu, Huntley Hatfield, like whoever had the most promise should have been developed more and been a contributor at the end of the year in some level. Because we ended up having Uros Plavsic trying to guard Hunter Dickinson, and it was a train wreck.
At half court.
And if none of those guys were good enough, then we should have just gone small and put Josiah on him, and at least we would have matched up differently.
You will not hear me disagree. We talked about that afterwards. Like, why did we not even try with Josiah on Hunter Dickinson?
And if you can't guard him with anybody, then play zone. You know? Like, I don't know. Coach a little bit.
Yeah, at some point, you just got to give your most skilled defender the opportunity to try.
Agree.
And we never did.
I mean, St. Peter's, whose tallest guy's like 6'5".
6'6", but yeah, your point stands.
Like, beat Purdue, who had two guys over 7 feet.
Wasn't one guy like 7'4"?
Yeah, Zach Edey. I've stood beside him. He made me look short.
Huntley Hatfield, 8 points in 16 minutes versus Bama, 2 rebounds. He wasn't hustling, Hickman. You got to hustle.
Come back. If you want to weigh in on the phone lines, last call, 865-546-8200. Stick with us right here on 3 and Out.